BlogTalkZone.com.
Welcome to How to Tour Italy with your host, Anthony Capozzoli. Anthony's passion for Italy is contagious. His dream is to bring Italy to life for people everywhere and to help them embrace the wonderful Italian lifestyle at home. Now, with How to Tour Italy, let's welcome travel expert, guidebook author, photographer, and radio host, Anthony Capozzoli.
Welcome to the show today, everybody, on the How to Tour Italy radio show. We got a good day packed up for you here. We'll be talking about one of my favorite cities in the whole of Italy, and I think most people will agree, Siena. We have a wonderful guest, Miss Leslie Erickson. We'll be talking with her about planning trips to Italy and using her consultative services to get the most out of every single minute you're spending in the wonderful country of Italia. And then your friend and mine, Chris Cadiato, at the end of the show, will be talking about something pretty cool, actually, in Rome. It's a 3D video experience, and I think that he'll give some more wonderful detail. I have to admit, I have not yet seen it, but it comes with pretty good kudos, not only from him, but from other friends of mine that I know that have been to Rome and have seen the actual show. So that'll be great. So my goal today is to do a couple different things. We're going to give you as much detail about the beautiful and wonderful city of Siena, some cool things to see, some great things to do, great places to eat and drink, where to study Italian. I have to admit, I have spent quite a bit of time in the beautiful city, and I did study at the Dante Alighieri School of Italian, located on Via Tommaso, right in the wonderful city, not too far from the Duomo. And I got to tell you, if you're going to spend much time in Siena, and I think that everybody should, studying Italian is a great, great, great way to spend some time there, not only in Siena, but anywhere you're going to be. But if you're actually going to be doing so in Siena, which is a wonderful city for this, because it is small in terms compared to Florence and Rome and some other places, but bigger than some of the other hill towns, so you get kind of the best of both worlds. And they've got a wonderful nightlife, the piazza, and we'll get into all of the wonderful things that make up Siena. And on my website, I'll have links out to the place that I'm talking about, the Dante Alighieri School of Italian in Siena, and the wonderful teachers. And they do a lot of things, actually, at the school beyond just teaching Italian, which is a wonderful way to go. You meet lots of great people. I went to Italy for 2 weeks by myself, and I stayed in Siena the entire time, studied there, made lots of great friends, I should say, and had a wonderful 2 weeks. But I did take advantage of the cultural tours and the cooking classes that they offer, and it was wonderful. I mean, I learned not only lots of Italian, got to see the Palio, made lots of great friends, took the cultural tours. They were all in Italian. I suppose you can do it in English, too, depending on the level that you are in, and you will get the most bang for your buck, without a doubt. And the website, and I'm going to spell it out for you because it's DanteAlighieri.com, and most people probably don't know how to spell Alighieri. So it's www.Dante Alighieri, and Alighieri is spelled Alighieri.com. So we'll get into a little bit about some of the options and some of the cool things, but one of my wonderful friends, Maria Iusco, she was an Italian teacher of mine here and has become a good friend of mine, sponsors a program where people can go over to Siena and study Italian at Dante Alighieri. And if you mention her name to Mr. Luca Bonomi, you will get a bit of a discount on the total package. And we'll get into, on the website anyway, what some of the cost is. I don't want to bore you with those details right now. But what I would like to do is dive right in to what makes Siena wonderful. And believe it or not, it is not just the Palio. Everyone knows Siena as the Palio. And the Palio, believe me when I say, is something that everybody should see. But don't just go for the day, enjoy the Palio, and leave. I think the best part about the Palio is, quite frankly, the pomp that goes on about a week before, because all the contradas, at least the participating contrada, really get into this. I mean, they have festivals and parties and their bragging rights if they win, and the parties after the fact. And the Palio itself probably only lasts about 90 seconds. So that is, like I said, it's 90 seconds. It's wonderful. The race, there's about a three-hour procession that goes on beforehand, and it's something that you could see. There's a couple of ways to do it. You can check it out in the inside of the square. Pardon me. I'm still struggling with a bit of a cold, so I do apologize. Sometimes you just kind of come up on me like that. So you can check out, like I say, the Palio in the center of the piazza, which I think if you've not seen the Palio before, is definitely a way to go. It's free. You're in the middle of it all. And I'll give you some pointers during a little segment here about where to stand to get the best angles. Or you could buy tickets and sit on one of the balconies. Now, these can be exceedingly expensive. Keep in mind, the Palio is a very sought-after event. It's been going on for centuries. And in order to buy a seat, you probably have to do so at least a year in advance. They run the race twice a year, July and September. So just know that, or did I say September? I meant August, excuse me. You know, if you're going to buy these tickets, I've got some pointers on where to go and get these tickets as well, but it is expensive, and be very, very careful of anybody fraudulently going after your money on the internet, because they will promise you these tickets. You will buy these tickets thinking that you're in good shape. You'll get to Siena, you'll go to the balcony, and they'll be like, I don't know what you're talking about. This, you don't have a ticket. And so there's some things to look out for. But I think the heart and soul of Siena is the beautiful, beautiful medieval city. It is wonderful. I mean, the city just literally gives you a hug all day, every day. It's almost overrun during the day with tourists. They come in for day trips, which is, it's a real shame, because it's a city that deserves a lot more time spent than simply a day trip. I think you should spend at the minimum 2-3 days there. And, you know, carve out a couple of your days that you'll be normally spending in Florence and dedicate some of those days to Siena, and you will be very, very happy that you did. At night, because it, I mean, literally the city is made of stone, it cools off wonderfully. And there are lots of great places to eat and drink. You can enjoy an evening under the stars in Piazza del Campo, Oco di Pece, which is the orchard, behind Palazzo Pulico that you have to walk to. Lots of wonderful stuff. So I'm going to kind of give you a day's itinerary, and we're going to spend some time talking about that, at least the next 10, 15, 20 minutes. And we're going to have a guest. And then at the end or the back end of the show, I'm going to finish off the segment on Siena. So there'll be actually two full segments on Siena. And we'll have Chris come in and talk a little bit about that 3D show in Rome. So I'll do the best I can. If I miss anything, any missing details will be posted on unabellavista.com, or the exact same, this is just a different URL, doyouloveitaly.com. And then I also have a couple other websites that I have. It's called the How to Tour Network, and that is How to Tour Europe, or howtotouritaly.com. You can check them out. And do take care to click around, especially on the How to Tour Europe website. It is a wonderful network of providers of excellent travel services, like renting properties. And I'm very happy to announce that we have Papavetta Rentals, who is now a sponsor and part of the network. And you can get to them on the How to Tour Network by clicking either on the network members page, the network members page, or you can go right to the property rentals on the howtotoureurope.com website and go to their website, click on it, and see all the fabulous offers that they have. In fact, we're airing their first commercial here today on the show. So with that, I'm going to get into my portion on Siena. So I'll tell you, this is a city that you will absolutely fall in love with. I don't know. Well, I have to say, I met one person who didn't like it. I'm not going to mention their name, but that is few and far between. Out of thousands of people, there's only one. So I think a perfect day in Siena, wake up early because you stayed the night, right? You took my advice. You did more than just a day trip. So you're going to wake up, and I highly recommend the San Francisco B&B. It's very near San Francisco. You've got a wonderful view off of where you'll stay in the Francesco, and the bread and breakfast is a great place to go. You will get up, have a nice Italian breakfast there, and have a bit of coffee, and then you'll start your day. You'll come out of the doors, cross the street, and they're on, well, this is going to be Via De Rossi now, because they're actually on Via degli Orbacchi, which is a tiny little side street. So you're going to cross the street, and you're going to go to a little cafe, and you're going to kick off your day with an espresso out of the gates from a wonderful little cafe in Siena. You're going to get a bottle of water for the day, because it gets quite a bit hot. Then you're going to cross right from that cafe across the street, and you're going to buy a bag of fruit. You're going to get a peach or some grapes, so you have a little sustenance during the day. And believe me, when you need to take a little bit of a break, sometimes you want to have something handy and sweet to give you a little bit of energy, and you can buy lots of great fresh fruit. And also, so when you come out of, like I said, the cafe, you're going to cross right across the street, go get your little bag of fruit, and then when you come out of that store, you're going to take a right, and you're going to walk up to the main drag. And you'll know what I mean. I'm not going to bore you with all the street names, because you'll find your way around. But as you're going up Via Rossi to the main drag, you're going to pass a little place called Gelateria Copacabana. It is one of my favorite gelaterias in Siena, and I think it is certainly worth a stop, if not multiple times a day. I'd say at least twice in the evening. And with that, you're going to come up to the main drag, and we're going to pass on the gelato until after lunch at least. So you can take a left. You're going to go down Via Rossi, and now you are on Via, and I'm going to give you the name of the main drag because I think it's important, Via Banchi di Sopra. You're going to go left on Sopra, and you're going to follow the signs passing the Campo on your left. Continue off to the Duomo, and literally the signs are everywhere, so you can't miss it. You're going to twist and turn around, and Santa, you're going to get lost. There's nothing you can do. You're going to think you're in one place. You're going to find out that you're somewhere else, but that is the beauty of it, I think. And in Siena, you should get lost. That is half the fun, finding your way back, and always know that you can always find your way back to the Campo. No matter where you are in Siena, there are signs getting you back to the Campo, so don't fear. All you have to know is how to get from the Campo to your hotel, and you are good to go, because you can get to the Campo from anywhere in that wonderful walled city. So we'll be twisting and turning through these medieval streets. The sunlight struggles a bit in the morning to get down to the stone, so it's a bit cool. So you're going to have to bring, you're going to wear your shorts or whatever you're going to do, your t-shirt. You probably have a sweatshirt to kick off your day, and then, you know, as the day passes, you take it off, wrap it on your wrist, throw it in your backpack, whatever you got to do. But you'll need it. And you'll not only need it in the morning, you'll need it in the evening, because it does cool off quite a bit there. All of a sudden, you'll turn the corner, and there is the Duomo. It is amazing. I mean, it literally erupts when you turn that corner into something that it will almost bring tears to your eyes. The sunlight glistens off of her facade, and it's truly a sight to behold. I mean, it's one of the more beautiful, and arguably, I would say, comparably to the Duomo in Florence. Now, I'm not taking anything away whatsoever from the Duomo in Florence, which is absolutely beautiful and probably quite a bit more famous, as we all know. But the Siena Duomo is amazing. It's very Gothic. The facade is fantastic. And I think to really understand the Duomo of Siena, we have to understand a bit about the history and the founding of Siena. It is mythological in its basis of being founded and tied to ancient Rome. In fact, Senius and Ascius, who are the nephews of King Romulus, who founded Rome, had to flee Rome one day because they stole the Capitoline Wolf, or at least a statue of the Capitoline Wolf, which is the symbol, the suckling wolf, the two children with Remus and Romulus suckling from the Capitoline Wolf. And we'll get into the founding and what that means to Rome another time. But that is the famous and kind of the stamp of the founding of Rome. Anyway, Romulus's nephews, Senius and Ascius, who are Remus's children, stole the Capitoline Wolf. So they had to flee. You know, they didn't want to get killed by Uncle Romulus, so they had to flee Rome, and they fled north. So under daylight, they were covered by a white cloud. As they traveled at night, they were covered by a black cloud until they got to where Siena is located today and decided they're going to build a shrine there to the Capitoline Wolf, which they did. And that became the mythological founding of the city of Siena. So now the colors of Siena are white and black. In fact, when you look at their flag, now called Bolzana, that's the name of their flag, is white and black. White on top, black on the bottom, horizontal bars. It's a very simple flag, but it represents the original founding of the city of Siena. Now, theologically speaking, the city of Siena is dedicated to the Virgin Mary. And you'll get a sense of this when you go, and it's hard to describe, but Siena has a distinctly feminine feel to it, whereas Florence has a distinctly masculine feel to it. And you can argue or give me a call on the show at 888-GO-FOR-IT to discuss what your opinions of that are, but I think that you'll understand that when you go and experience it for yourself. I think that Siena is a bit of a softer city. It gives you a little bit more of a hug. I like to say that because that's a good way to describe it. It's one of those cities, especially with the color Siena, and Siena is not just a crayon. It really is named after the wonderful city of Siena and the colors that are natural and the rooftops and the streets of the city of Siena. So back to the Duomo. Well, the creation of the Duomo is kind of an event for the city. It's tied not only to, it's tied to the, you know, theology and the religious center of the city, but it's also a civic event where the citizens of Siena gave their time and their money and donated equipment to the creation of the Mother Church. The facade is Gothic. I mean, the sculptures are just fantastic off of the main facade. And when you walk into the church, you'll see that part of the interior of the church is done by a Mr. Pisano, but the facade was done by a Giovanni Pisano, who was the son of one of the artists of the interior, Niccolo Pisano, and we'll get into what his contributions were. But the facade is Gothic, and it is absolutely amazing. And when you're there for the palio, you'll see lots of the pomp and circumstance that go on for the palio take place in front of the Duomo. So we pay our fee. It's around 10 euro. You're going to walk in and be pledged. You have to pop your hat off. You don't want to keep it on because it's quite frankly rude. It is the religious center of Siena, and they take that very, very seriously in Italy, as well they should. So you will see that the floor in and of itself at the at the Duomo is amazing. It is mythologically telling you a story. It is religiously telling you a story. You will find the Sibyls, the Libyan Sibyl, Delphic Sibyl, the Sumerian Sibyl, the story of Judith and Holofernes, the slaughter of the innocents, Moses striking water from the rock, the a story at least delivered through the mosaic floor, through Socrates and Crates. But it's something that's taken centuries and the hand of multiple artists. In fact, it's so beautiful that Giorgio Vasari himself complimented on it being the most breathtaking floor that he's ever actually seen. And it truly is amazing. I mean, it's roped off so you can see where you can and can't walk in the Siena Duomo itself. But it's something that don't overlook. It takes some time to absorb it. I personally think the Slaughter of the Innocents is one of my favorite scenes that is on the floor. You will also see, so when you walk in, you pay your $10, like I say, so you take in a left after you walk through the gate, and you'll see the floor, and you'll enjoy that throughout your entire visit at the Duomo. But halfway up the nave, on your left-hand side, you will see a monument entombed to the Piccolomini family. Now, the Piccolomini family is quite important in Siena. They've produced two popes, Pope Pius II and Pope Pius III. But even more importantly, and I shouldn't say more importantly, but I think more importantly by being recognizable, the altar and four statues on that altar are done, or rather just the four statues. The altar itself is not done by the hand of Michelangelo, but four statues on it were. I guess they're arguably considered minor statues by Michelangelo, but keep in mind he did these simultaneously to the time he was actually carving the David in Florence, so you can see he was a bit preoccupied, but he carved a St. Peter, a St. Paul, a St. Pius, and a St. Gregory. You will find that they are not holding the vestiges that you're used to seeing them. So, for example, St. Peter is not holding his keys. St. Paul is not holding his sword. I think that they are wonderful. They're very small. You'd be surprised at the size of them. It doesn't appear at first glance to be Michelangelo, but they are Michelangelo-esque, specifically the St. Paul. So you'll see when you look at this halfway up the nave on the left, it's a large altar. You can't miss it. It's another scene where you'll see Michelangelo statues up close and personal without being bothered by throngs and throngs of people, much like in Rome at Santa Maria Sopra Minerva and the Risen Christ that we talked about with Angela Nickerson when she was on the phone, or rather on the show. So now we've enjoyed the Michelangelo, and we're going to keep walking up now towards the altar, and on the left-hand side still, there is a baptistry in the Duomo. There are two baptistries, of course, the main baptistry tied to the Duomo that's in the back that we'll talk about it a little bit later, but the baptistry inside the Duomo, so don't confuse it with the main baptistry. It is a baptistry, as they always are, dedicated to St. John the Baptist, but this one is done with a statue of Donatello, and it is an amazing statue. You can walk in, and it's a magical, magical room. Take some time, soak it in. The Donatello statue of St. John is wonderful. Take your camera out, take a few shots. And that's the cool thing about the Siena Duomo. They don't limit the amount of photography that you take. So snap away and enjoy your time there. You've got great shots of the floor. You've got great shots of the inside of the Duomo itself, the Michelangelo, now the Donatello St. John. And keep in mind, I want to point out that with the black and white that we talked about in the mythological founding of Rome, the columns in the interior of the church are black and white as they go up from the floor all the way to the ceiling. And that is, again, representative to its founding and being tied to Rome. In fact, the Suckling, Capitoline, Wolf, the way it is built, they always seem to be pointing to, or at least the main ones, appear to be looking back. And that is because they are, mythologically speaking, looking back to their sister city of Rome, being that that's where they were founded. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to be taking a break in about a minute, so I'm going to continue, and then we're going to have Miss Leslie Erickson on the line with us and to talk about planning our trip to Italy. But as we keep going here, I'm going to talk very quickly about walking down the center of the nave after we've enjoyed the baptistry. We're going to come out of the baptistry now, go left towards the main altar, and we are going to see work by the hand of Niccolo Pisano, who did the pulpit inside the Duomo of Siena. Now, his son, keep in mind, did the facade. And with that, we're going to come back, talk with Miss Leslie Erickson. We're going to take a little bit of a break and then continue on with our talks of the inside of the Duomo of Siena. Ciao.
Dreaming of renting a villa in Italy? Papavero Villa Rentals, your Italy experts, will make that dream come true. We specialize in Italy 100% of the time. It's our passion, and we love what we do. We're experts on travel to Italy, and we're here to help you plan the perfect trip. From the Italian Alps to the beaches of Sicily, we personally select each property to assure your comfort. We travel to Italy multiple times a year to inspect and revisit each property to assure your physical comfort as well. We thump the pillows, check the water pressure, and sleep in the beds. We know each property intimately and are happy to help you choose the one that best suits your desires. And we don't stop there. Our frequent trips to Italy enable us to arrange day tours and services, all pre-approved by us so you can book with confidence. No matter what your dream may be, a stunning villa with staff on Lake Como, a country cottage in Tuscany, a chic apartment in Rome, or anything in between, trust your dream to Papavero Villa Rentals. Call us toll-free at 1-866-737-0000. That's 1-866-737-0000. Or visit us online at papaverorentals.com.